Although it's not as dramatic as it sounds. It's only in my own life. I can only go to places where I actually was and can remember. I can't kill Hitler or shag Helen of Troy, unfortunately.
Okay, stop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the movie calendar. My name is Lee.
My name's Terrence.
And this week we are talking all about Richard Curtis's About Time. And I have to say that it is about time that we talked about this film. I'm so sorry. I wanted to get it done early, as early as I possibly could. And just, yeah, it stamped that. It's done. I don't need to do it again for the rest of the episode.
I'm now trying to think how I can totally do that too.
You get one. You will get one this episode like I did. I chose to use mine super early. I will probably end up regretting that decision. So use yours wisely. You've got one in the chamber.
I'm going to... locked and loaded. All right.
Cool.
It's ready. It's going to come out at an awesome time.
A little bit of... the hype is real. A little bit of housekeeping for this week's episode. It hasn't happened for a while, but we might get some dog noises on my end. Normally he's put away, but he was a little bit anxious today. So Oscar is in the room with me at the moment. So if there's any lapping at the water bowl or, you know, pouring down near me, then that's just him wanting some attention. There's also a house party happening next door as well, and I haven't soundproofed the room to my new house yet. So
cool.
Anything can happen.
I think this is
please don't.
I think this is the first time you've mentioned Oscar by name.
Oh, I think I have mentioned him before, but if I hadn't, yes, the puppy's name is Oscar.
Yes.
Very fitting.
10 guesses why and in what context Lee was in, what his mind frame was in.
You get one guess. Yeah, you get one guess. His middle name is also Quentin.
Named after my third brother.
Yes, of course.
Who I don't have. I don't have any brothers. Sisters, very good. You know, it took me a while to work out Oscar's name. I just clicked one day. I thought, Oscar, of course.
Yeah.
All right, Oscar. I hope he makes an appearance. I can't wait to see him.
He might. He's a bit tired. It is quite late at the moment. He is in his bed. He might stay there, but he might not. So just a heads up.
Good boy, Oscar. Good boy. All right. Well, look. Why don't we get started about this film? Started talking about this film. I understand you love this film.
Would you say that it's...
No.
Okay. No, I've already used mine. I can't use it again.
That chronological order of things hasn't occurred yet.
No. Okay, perfect. We'll keep it locked and loaded, ready to go. I'm excited to hear when you say it. That's great. But no, About Time is one of my... favorite sweet rom-coms. There's going to be a few of these that'll appear on the calendar. Nice little films scattered in throughout the year. It can't all be kind of dark and looming and serious and you know, poetic and have really deep meaning. Like whilst this this film has a lot to think about as well. It's also just one of those really sweet movies that you can pop on, have a good time, enjoy the characters, enjoy their chemistry together. So I'm really excited to put this one on the calendar. And as I mentioned last week, one of my friends at work, it is one of his absolute favorite films, and he was ecstatic to find out that we were putting it on the movie calendar, and he has contributed with a date for this week, which I'm very excited for.
Oh, cool. I saw this film. I really wanted to watch it earlier than I did. I saw it for the first time last night, to be honest. So I wasn't able to see it sooner. At first watching, I quite enjoyed this. I quite enjoyed it. I have a couple of things that I'm going to bring up and that are more queries to the piece. And I thought, Terrence, don't pick this thing apart. You can't. You can't do this. This is loved by so many people. And it was proved when I made an Instagram post talking about us recording this episode. There was a flood of likes. I say a flood, you know. Early days on our thing, a flood is more than three. It was more than three. But, you know, there's a really good uptake on people who really, 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 really love this film. So I don't want to do it any disjustice. I know it has a really nice following, you know.
Bring your thoughts and opinions. We want them.
Yeah, I will. And I'm not going to downtread anything. And I just have just questions about it. I really liked the film, by the way. I really got swept up in the romance of it, in the emotion of it, especially, you know, towards the last part of the film. I shed a tear, and it's something that I know a lot of people do whenever they watch it or have when they've seen it. So, you know, it did affect me. And when I watch it again, I'll watch it with different eyes, in full preparation for what it's going to do to me at the end, which, by the way, we haven't mentioned yet. If it's anyone's first time listening to this, full spoilers. We're going to speak about this as if you have seen this film before. So now I can say the bit at the end with the father, all of that stuff. So it was really touching and meant a lot to me. But you know, I think the decision on actors was just perfect.
Yeah, they're
perfect.
Great.
This is our second film with Donald Gleason.
Yep.
How cool is he? He's like a new age Hugh Grant.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
With red hair.
the first openly ginger character in a Richard Curtis film.
Yes, I like it. Bill Nye, classic in everything he touches. And Rachel McAdams, she's just gorgeous in everything that she does as well.
Stunning.
But you know, I think this was really well cast. Margot Robbie, I didn't realize she was.
Let's not forget about the Australian representation.
Holy
moly. Film, Margot Robbie.
I had no idea. My wife and I watched this film together, and I'm like, "Hey, that's Margot Robbie. When was this done? Is she already huge in this film? What's going on?"
She's been acting for a long time. Like, she didn't just come out of nowhere. But yeah, this was quite early in her career.
Mm. Really cool and really good British accent. I was ready for a big thick Aussiness coming in. But it was really cool.
There's a few moments in there that I noticed when she was at the house, when she was staying at their home as a guest. There were a few moments where she kind of dived into the Australian vernacular.
Yeah,
but like, that's fine. That'll happen. I love that this is a British rom-com, but our three main love interests are Scottish, American, and Australian.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, Scottish.
Oh, what's Donald Gleason?
Oh, yes, I'm not sure. I'm not sure of his nationality.
I don't know. British.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. But does he play British?
Yeah.
He plays a Brit.
Does the accent? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to touch on Richard Curtis quite a bit when we sort of dive really deep into the episode. He's technically a Kiwi. He's was born in New Zealand.
Oh, cool. We'll claim him. Cool. We always claim Kiwis anyway.
Yeah. Good. So he's practically Kiwis. Australian.
Aussies. Exactly. That's good. Well, okay. Look, let's talk about the film.
Into it. So we've got About Time from 2013, written and directed by Richard Curtis, starring Donald Gleason, Rachel McAdams, Bill Nighy, Margot Robbie, and Tom Hollander, just to name a few. This is an ensemble cast. Everyone is fantastic. And essentially, it tells the story of young Tim, who's a young adult, and he finds out that he can travel through time within his lifetime. And what does he do with this amazing ability? He does the one thing that means the most to him, which is find his true love.
Mm.
And so it's a small, intimate story. This concept for a film could be almost used for any genre of movie that exists. So this particular story is a love story. And if that sounds interesting to you, if you haven't seen it, go and check it out and then come on back and watch the rest of the episode.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know where to go with that. Keep talking.
Sure.
Let's talk about the main character.
Okay, Tim.
Donald Gleason. It kind of picks up with his story when he's 21, right? Or at least we think when he's 21 and he has this awkward New Year's Eve party and his life seems quite awkward and he is dateless. He, I could expect maybe he hasn't had a girlfriend yet, or a proper girlfriend yet.
I'd say so.
So it's pretty cool that his dad decides to let him in on this little secret. When I guess I wonder if they do that at all when they all turn 21, if that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he said that he's a little bit nervous and excited to tell him, and Bill Nighy is just so good in this entire film. But this scene where he's telling his son that he has the ability to travel through time, and he kind of doesn't know how to do it. He's like, my dad had the same conversation with me when I was your age. And obviously his father with him. So it's like, he's like, prepare yourself for weird.
Yeah.
Like, spooky time.
I love after the bomb drop, and he goes, all right, if this is true, which it isn't.
Which is not.
It was such a great back and forth that they had with each other. The timing was just brilliant. And I actually, whenever I see Bill Nighy in character, with most of the characters that he plays, he actually reminds me of a British Jeff Goldblum with his delivery. He doesn't do as many stammers.
Solid.
But, you know, he's also this tall, lanky guy who just is so... He has this presence. And even though he seems a little bit unsure of every word that comes out of his mouth, he is the most defined person in the room and has the best vocabulary of anyone within probably the 200-kilometer radius of where he's standing at that point in time, you know? Yeah. I love that about those two guys. So seeing Bill Nighy in this was just gold.
It's that Richard Curtis writing that's so good. Like, he has been in the game for so long. Like, he has written more things than you would probably know unless you did a deep dive on his history. Yeah, so he's written and directed. You know him from Love Actually and The Boat That Rocked. But, like, he's written... Notting Hill, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Bridget Jones's Diary. He also co-created Mr. Bean with Rowan Atkinson. He wrote a lot on Blackadder and Vicar of Dibley. And he has been around and influenced, you know, cinema and television for literal decades.
And genres.
Not
just those mediums, but genres within those mediums.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you've ever seen any of the Rowan Atkinson live sketches that he used to do, like he wrote most of those.
Are you kidding me?
Along with Rowan Atkinson. Yeah, like he is just incredible. So sharp, so witty. And I love that he's just got this fervent passion for love stories, for rom-coms. And this is kind of him flexing an area that he hadn't before. And it's just so lovely to see a nice twist on the rom-com.
Yeah, it was quite refreshing. And this is my first kind of swing on this. And I've got to say, I don't want to offend people who this is their favorite film. We've had people comment this is their favorite film, and you know, and I get that, and I see that, and I really like this film. I wish there was a little bit more that he did with it. He had such a great idea. Such a great idea, but to only show how one character used it to manipulate the love of his life into loving him more and potentially saving his relationship, when most of us mere mortals who live this life once over in our consciousness will make real mistakes and will have real arguments. He has had the power to successfully navigate back and not have them and just say the right things, you know, to avoid them for the most part. That's actually how I watched most of this film. And it really bugged me that I felt this way. And he did nothing to change my view of this with his storytelling. And I couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over it. All the way through. And I actually felt sorry for Mary, for the character of Mary, because she was totally blind to this. And actually felt for Tim's mother, who is such a stern woman, who knows what she knows and has just totally dotes over Tim's father, over Bill Nighy's character. And you think, wow, she would have a lot of opinions on a lot of things. How could these two who look like polar opposites never come come at loggerheads or anything. And you know, it's, well, he's done every day twice. He's said the right thing all the way through his life. So this woman's been manipulated to falling in love with him even more, which led to one of the best lines and one of the most heavy lines in the film, to be honest, when they get the phone call of the diagnosis of the cancer and they go to the door and he asks the mother, how are you feeling? I had to write it down. It was such
a favorite line.
Beautiful line. I really liked it. How are you? Not well. I'm so uninterested in a life without your father.
Yeah. Whoa, furious. That was furious, she says.
That was awesome, you know. And you know what? That actually cemented my idea that I'm just talking towards as well. You know, that he hasn't done a number on her. But that was actually what I felt, that this has just been used, this time travel has just been used to manipulate people in their own life's timeline to make it the best sure. for them.
I can see that. I took there was a lot to unpack there in that little bit. Yeah. But I've got some thoughts, ideas, and notes as to things within that. Because I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah.
When I sort of first watched it. But no, there's little moments in there to let you know that it is a genuine love and a genuine relationship, and I'd be happy to touch on those.
Yeah, do.
And sort of go through them with you when we get to the chance. So
absolutely, you'd be the voice for the people, Lee, and I'll be the voice for the other couple of people.
I am the voice for me. I do not speak on anybody else's behalf. I am the voice of me. I'm in charge of my own opinions and those alone.
Yeah. All right. No, that's fine. That's fine. That I think is my biggest, I'm going to call it an issue that I had.
Sure.
The emotion that this film let me feel trumps that issue that I had. And it's by far a writing and a storytelling issue. The concept, beautiful concept. And I totally fell with that concept. Fell like in love with the concept.
Yeah, there have been so many really good examples of well-written female characters by Richard Curtis that this one does kind of not hold that mantle up as well. Mm. But I do really like these characters still, as much as they're kind of more in service of their male counterparts.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that they still are quite well realized, but I think a lot of that is due to the charisma of the actors in the performances, which I'd love to talk about Rachel McAdams for a second, because like she is just the time travel queen at this point. Do you know how many films that she's been in where she has played the love interest to a time traveling character?
Is she in The Time Traveler's Wife? Is that her?
So it's four films. Are you kidding me? She has been so The Time Traveler's Wife with Eric Banner, and then Midnight in Paris.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man. So Midnight in Paris, she's a love interest in that.
Yeah.
This, so About Time, to Donald Gleeson, and she's in Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is a time manipulator as well. So it's just...
Wow.
It's fun. All I want is for Hollywood to write a time travel film where she's the lead character and she is the one doing the time traveling.
And the movie should open with her going, I'm not going to say, finally...
Yeah.
That's what she should say.
That's all I want. And Sean Bean should be in it and he should survive until the end of the movie. That's please, all I want.
Please.
Just that's what the people want, Hollywood. Just
let him live. Let him live for once. For once. Wow, I had no idea. Her face must just drop and her eyes roll whenever her agent goes, here's a script. It's a time traveling one. Oh.
Yeah. Is there time in the title? I don't want to do it. Well, Midnight in Paris, this one seems interesting.
No, there's reference to some time in the day. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Wow, I had no idea.
I don't think it's a conscious thing or she's drawn to them. I think it's just by happenstance because she's been in so many movies and is incredible in everything that she does. But yeah, it's just such a fun little quirk that she's been in so many stories that have time travel as a storytelling mechanism.
She in this film, I've seen Midnight in Paris and I've seen Doctor Strange. I totally didn't even remember that was her. But she brought such a niceness to the character. Like you could just smother on this nice, and it's on toast, thick. You won't taste the bread for the amount of nice that she brings to it. Almost a sickly amount, but it was needed for this role, and she did it. She was so good.
Yeah. You so would good. Do... Like, she... It's such an important aspect to her character that she just plays someone that you would do anything for.
Mm.
And the second that you see her for the first time, like when they have their beautiful little meet cute in the dark restaurant, which there's some great dialogue in there as well, super funny, where she talks brilliant about scene. How she was going to wear a dress from Kate Moss because she loves Kate Moss. And then she's like, you? And it's like, oh no, her dresses look awful on me. Like, it's just the banter is so funny, and they're so charismatic together. They've got so much chemistry. Yeah. And then when he comes up and he's nervously waiting outside the restaurant, and she, you know, walks up and sheepishly kind of comes around the wall and just has this look on her face of just like, you instantly fall in love with her as an audience member. You can see him doing it. And then the way that, you know, he asks for her number and he looks at his phone, and after he gets it, and he's like, I thought this was just an old crappy phone, but now it's suddenly my most precious possession. It's just like, that's, it's so sweet. And yes, the frosting is super thick on this cake, but man, I am getting diabetes because I ate every single slice that was available.
Yeah. And look, it doesn't stop with her, because every character was coated with this thick buttercream icing to the point where you succumb to it and you go, ah, it's this type of film. Okay. I was forever waiting for a twist. I was waiting. Come on, this has got to have something else into it. But it was kind of a, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Even though it's a time traveling story with a lot of backwards and forwards. Like, no, now this is going to happen. Now this is going to happen. And now my dad's going to die. but I'm happy.
Dark.
A happy family man now. And I know how to use my traveling but skills.
That scene, while we're here...
Which one? The restaurant? Kind of, the dark kind restaurant?
Kind of backs onto one of the things that I was going to mention. So I was going to say, I really like the fact that they had this instant organic connection before any time manipulation had happened. Like, they had had this moment. It was organic. It was beautiful. Like, there was a genuine connection there. And then it was taken away because Tim decided to help out his roommate with his play.
Yep.
And as a result of that, which he could have gone back and then undone that, but he decided to keep that because he's a good person. And he's now lost. He's lost Mary. And so to me, it kind of justifies his actions of then trying to find her out, because he knows that there is a connection there. He genuinely knows. And he would be doing them both a disservice if he didn't at least try and follow up on it.
Yeah, it shocked me a bit as to why he was surprised when she didn't know who he was. Like, he knew that he didn't have that night. Why did he think he would know that she would recognize him? And I thought point, I was like, at that point when you realize, oh man, this is going to stuff things up, I'm just going to go back to the restaurant. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't do that. Do you know what I mean?
Why he wouldn't go to the restaurant?
Yeah.
Because the play was happening at the exact same time that the dinner was.
You can't tell me that you would decide to keep the outcome of the play when the love of your life, when the best night of your entire life just happened. What would you choose? I love restaurant.
I think that there's other options to meet her, but there's no other option to fix the play. And because he's a nice person, he wanted to do something nice for his friend, even though his friend is horrible.
I disagree. There would have been many other ways he could have fixed the play and still had that night. Absolutely.
Well, he's not a genius.
Yeah, but there still are. Anyway, I would have done it. And that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, just go back. What are you doing? And now you have to lie. And you know, in films where people make little lies, they catch up with them. And they go, wait, you said you were Mary's friend at my party. She doesn't know you. So you manipulate. What's going on here? Like, I was waiting for that to come and bite him. I thought, here we go. Something's going to go wrong. And we know that they get on. He didn't need to time travel. Love blossomed genuinely. You know, this is where I really wish in the storytelling, as great of a writer as he is, the dialogue is beautiful. The characters are very deep and very, very well realized. Why did the story not allow for what reality might have allowed? Do you know what I mean? And I realize that's silly because it's a time traveling film. Anyway,
yes,
we got past it.
Welcome to time travel cinema. It makes no sense.
Yeah, we got past it. But I really wish he did that. The scene, the shot after he walks away after delivering, you know, that amazing line. I thought my phone was old and shit, but suddenly it's my most precious possession. That's actually my second favorite line in the film. They shoot him walking down his street. The camera is really shaky, showing a bit of, you know, whimsy, and he's not lit properly. He's in this darkness, but it captures his joy. You know, he's nearly skipping down the street. He's running his fingers along the hedge. You know, he's open and everything. And, you know, and then he goes in to see the news that his flatmates, you know, his dad's mate's play didn't go well. But totally...
the Titanic of failures.
Everyone died. No survivors.
Not even Kate Winslet.
Well, he's a playwright, right? but then after he realizes he's missed Mary, that same shot, he's walking down the street back home, and it was shot, you know, it's nearly the identical shot, but it was incredible.
It is,
The way, the technique was nearly the same. It was handheld, shaky shot, still badly lit, but it was a closer shot. So you could kind of see his shoulders down. He was more of a slumped walk rather than an excited skip. You know, and those two scenes were so powerful with me. Yeah. And I felt so sad for Tim at that moment, which is why I was thinking, just go back. And he never did.
But he did.
He worked it out. No, but not... He didn't go back and have the night again.
He tried. Yeah, he... Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway... It was a nice twist when he fixed the play by going to the actor who I'd seen in many things before, recognized him immediately, and said, read the lines, and he reads them, and it turns out it's the other actor. Who's that other actor? What's his name?
Richard E. Grant.
Big names. Oh, man, Richard E. Grant. I see him.
And Richard, and yeah, who's the from Harry Potter? Richard.
Harry Potter references for me.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so he plays the uncle in the abusive uncle, I think, in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he puts him under the stairs.
This was his last film, About Time, before he passed away.
Hmm. Well, we can't do that without mentioning his name. I'll get IMDb up while you...
Okay.
While you
look through. You bring that up. But no, I really like those shots. It's filmed incredibly well. Whilst Richard Curtis hasn't made... many films, you can tell that he's just been around filmmaking for so long because he's got all of those really nice techniques just ingrained. It would almost be like muscle memory, I would imagine. I'm not saying that making these films is easy, because they're definitely not, especially ones of this caliber. But yeah, you can tell that there's a real skill there. He knows how to use the camera.
Yeah. Now, we said we're going to talk about characters. We've only touched on two a little bit, but while we're talking about the camera, there was one other shot that I thought was magic, but it was ruined. It was their first kiss. You know, she says, can you walk me to my car? And turns out...
Oh, that's so cute.
She has walked him all the way home. That was sneaky. Oh, that was awesome.
My car's parked out the front of my house. That moment of realization on his face when they're walking and he's like, oh, and just like shuts down and says nothing because he can't say anything.
That's
such a natural reaction.
Oh, man. He turned into a 21-year-old boy who woke up after New Year's Eve and just like, oh, man, I don't know what to do. Yeah, not after New Year's. Anyway, I felt so happy for him in that moment. Invite yourself up for tea.
One of the moments with Rachel McAdams' character that I really like, where like she's a strong, confident woman. She knows what she wants. She's happy to get it. Like when they eventually go up in her apartment, and she's like, "I'm gonna go and put my pajamas on."
Yeah.
And then in a minute, you can come and take them off.
Oh,
like that. Yeah.
And he's 1 minute.
That must be nice to hear. Yeah. Siri set a 6 minute timer. Sorry, I have a 1 minute timer, 60 second timer.
And she's in the, and all she hears is boom boom. Sorry, I didn't get that. No, don't.
Oh gosh, no.
That was classic. But that kiss.
Sorry, so, yes, tell me, please.
It was beautiful, that street, the lighting. They fill the frame in their full stance. It's a wide shot. And the camera stays far. The camera stays far away from them. And what's beautiful about that is we got to be part of that moment with them, but we weren't in that moment with them. We were allowed...
Kind of lets them have it?
We were allowed as an audience to let them have it. And we stood back. It was almost like we were proud friends who had set these guys up and didn't want to spoil the moment by getting too close and going, oh my
God. And now tell me how it was ruined. Kiss.
And it was ruined because while they were kissing, the camera then went with a close up. And then, you know, close up just to see them pull away and smile. And then it went back to that beautiful wide shot again.
Right, okay. Oh, I didn't even notice it.
Man, I was so lost in that moment. And that was so jarring for me. And, you know, I feel that was, you know, classic. Okay, of course you go close on the kiss. And many people, you didn't even notice it. And it probably wouldn't affect many people, but I was so taken by that shot.
It wasn't like a smash zoom.
It was a cut. It was just cut to it.
Because
no, it wasn't.
I didn't mention this for the Shining episode, but like in last week we talked about the Shining. Really great episode, by the way, if you haven't checked that out. Some of our best work, if we do humbly say so.
I'll put a little card up. Shining card up here.
Yeah, we'll pop a little card up but don't leave this video just yet. It'll be there for you when you want to. There's one of the scenes of Danny when he's in the games room and he's pulling the darts off the dartboard, and he turns around and the camera just smash zooms up into his face. And I remember sitting on the couch going, ha, smash zoom. And then it cuts to the two girls holding hands. I was like, oh my God, I don't like this at all. I'm not okay with this.
There were none of those zooms. No, it was just, it was jarring. I think I was lost in the moment. And I was actually admiring it because I thought, oh, most movies they'd cut to a close. Oh, there's the close up. Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
But that whole scene. Can't all be perfect. That was beautiful. And, you know, he did what every person who wishes they could have that moment again does when he does go and visit her in the bedroom. That was classic. That was very funny.
That was very funny.
And what did she say? So once enough for my perfect man?
It's like, oh, come on. That doesn't seem fair.
That was brilliant. And a beautiful montage after that. The love affair through time, through using that subway tunnel. Over and over. That was
very really clever. Nicely done. Yeah, really nice way to show travel. Yeah, like time has passed. Yeah. Their relationship has blossomed, and showing them sort of working, living together, and like that little moment of that's as far as they can go together before they go to work, and then off they go was a really nice way to do it.
They hate being apart, you know, and using the busking band in the background as that constant. To supply the music as well. That was really nice.
Awesome really cool. Music in this film. A lot of really good song choices. I really enjoyed the journey that the music took us on in this film.
Nice piano score throughout as well.
Classic.
Characters. Let's keep going.
Okay.
So that was Tim and Helen.
Talk about next. Yeah.
Well, who is the third?
Those are kind of the main two. There's a lot of side characters. Like, I think Rory is. Like the classic,
The classic mate
sidekick kind of, what's the word, like supporting character?
Comic relief.
Comic relief. Thank you.
That's Joshua Maguire.
Okay.
The reason that I made a point of finding who he is because I love what he does in this film, and I realized that a year later. He is in a brilliant TV series that I've been watching called Lovesick. And he plays the exact same character. It's almost like I saw him and went, that's what we need, do the same here.
That's our guy.
Ongoing series. It is just, it's a beautiful show. Watch it, it's really cool. But he is just gold. He has this incredible timing and these expressions that he has. You know, I think when I don't know Margot Robbie's character, Charlotte, was it?
Yes.
When she ditches her friend and comes back. And Tim is like, okay, I'm going, bye Rory or something.
She's the one that says, bye Rory.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, oh, okay, bye. I love his attempt at a best man speech as well when Tim is like tries all the different best men before he lands on his father, and Rory's is just like trying to set up the joke with like, you need to know what this very particular law term means in order for you to get this joke, and he's just, oh, I've made the biggest mistake.
I like that sequence a lot. I like that sequence. But that epitomizes that character as well. Totally weak and stomped on by his employer, and every relationship he tries would fail. That's what you can see with him. And Tim's character helps him. So Rory, a really cool sidekick.
I really love Tom Holland as Harry as well. So he's the roommate that in London.
The playwright.
The playwright that Tim moves into, and just the way that their relationship starts, where he sort of knocks on the door, rings the bell or whatever it was, and just opens up and he's like, what the F do you want? And he's like, oh my God, I've had all of these grandiose ideas of what it's going to be like moving to the big city and going on wild adventures, and like, this is my first experience. It's just, it's so stunning.
I kind of like how their relationship stayed with this this respect that they had for each other. You know, they're always arguing, but obviously they care about each other a lot. Brought on by Tim, I'd imagine.
I would say so.
He's the one who has just seen this person who is incredibly sad with his life, and always kicking himself for everything bad that happens in it. And he's like, you know what? Let's be friends. I want to make this work. You need a buddy in life. Let's be mates. It's very cool.
Yeah. But no, he was so funny. Everything that comes out of his mouth is gold. I love him as an actor as well.
I can't remember anything I've seen him in.
Most people would probably know him from, well, this and Pirates of the Caribbean he's in as well.
Oh, really? Okay. I've seen one of those ones. I've seen two of the Caribbean pirate movies.
He's done a bit of TV as well. He did a Netflix film, I think, as well. Bird Box? I think he's in that. I don't know. I watched it once. It was fine.
Maybe not calendar worthy by your standards. I haven't seen it yet.
No.
Maybe if I really enjoy it, we will put it on. I haven't watched it. I don't know. I don't have time.
that was Netflix's like
the reverse Quiet Place
attempt. No, it was like attempt at a Quiet Place. Literally, that is exactly what it was like. A Quiet Place is already on the calendar. Check out that episode.
There's a card. Lots of fun.
If you like us talking about characters, that is the episode to check out, because we talk about for about 50 minutes about the characters in that film, and then we get to the end and we're like, oh, we have no time now.
I found the name of the character who you said it was his last film. He plays Harry Potter's... Actor. Is he Harry Potter's guardian in the
Uncle,
film?
Yeah.
Uncle or something like that. It's Richard Griffiths. So he passed away in 2013.
Thank you.
The year
I had Richard Armitage in my head. I knew it was Richard something.
Richard Griffiths. So he passed the year that this film was released. Wow. Yeah,
too many Richards involved with the making of this film, if I'm being honest. It's very confusing.
I didn't realize. That's pretty sad. I love watching things that he's in. He's another one of the characters where you see him and you go, oh, that guy. It's a way of me showing very little respect for the people who put their their life's effort into the work that they believe in the most. Yeah. Yep. All right.
He was great. Yeah, that whole courtroom scene with the play is super fun, because just seeing those actors in those tiny roles, there's no such thing as a small role, only a small actor. it was just great. Yeah, Richard E. Grant is just marvelous, and him having just like the freeze and fear in the eyes of not knowing what your next line is was just perfect. He's great.
See, I would have loved something to develop there as well. What a great opportunity to have some sort of friendship kindle or something like that, and you know, I don't know. And he never tells Harry that he might have helped a little bit. You know, he's happy. He's quite a humble guy. Doesn't need Harry forever thinks he just missed the shining moment of the best play that he's ever created. I kind of like that. But it was one of those things. You're like, just tell him you were the one that saved the day.
I have a theory about that play that was written I think that Tim was kind of brought on as a consultant for that writing, because it's a legal drama, right? It's called A Guilty Man. Tim is a lawyer, so he probably would have been helping him write the play as well, because he'd been there for a while, lived with them for a while. And so I think
that's Tim, how he knew the lines.
I think Tim would have had an influence on that play getting written, which I think is super sweet, and like bits that you don't see, it's written between the lines of the script. I like that.
That actually is really nice. And of course, I mean, Love Actually, with the words written, you know, that's taken out. I want to watch that again. Are we putting that on the calendar? I think it's
Love Actually.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Yes, Love Actually will go on the movie calendar.
All right. Sorry.
I wonder where it will go.
Well, Halloween hasn't got one on it yet, so at time of recording.
Yeah, Love Actually is going to go on Halloween Day. That's a great idea.
All right. Well, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. We talked Bill Nye a little bit, but I think Marvelous. He'd be Brilliant. The next character to talk about.
Dad.
Let's talk about the dad character.
Sure. Very quickly, because we want to churn through a bit. Terrence's light has just gone out. I love it so much. He's going to deal with that.
I think I've got to do this every like fifth episode or something. I'm not changing it. It looks really dramatic. Keeps us on
our toes. Look, people listening to us on their favorite podcast app of choice have no idea what's happening right now. But if you're on YouTube, you can see it. Terrence's light has just gone out.
Stop talking about it. If they can't see it happening, it's not happening.
All right, I'll just vamp for a while, shall I?
I'm still here. We can still talk. All right. Bill Nye.
No, yeah, Bill Nye's character as dad is so great. I love his relationship with his family. He cares so deeply about his family. Just the way that he imbues the wisdom that he's learned over the years to his son with this whole time travel thing was really cool as well. Teaching him that he can go through it, kind of teaching him things to avoid. Like, you don't want to look at making too much money. Like, it's a real double-edged sword. Like, it leads to a boring life, and it means that it's all you'll ever strive for. Like, look at your great uncle, whatever his name was. And he's like, what did he do? He's like, nothing. He did nothing with his life. Yeah. All he cared about was getting money. So,
and he didn't have... did he say, like, he didn't have love? He never found anyone or something like that?
Yeah, it was nothing. It was just all about that. So he's like, all I've done is just read as much as I can. I've read everything that any man would ever want to. Twice. Dickens three times. In fact, he's reading from Great Expectations at the end, where he's... to his son as well, which is a nice little touch.
It was good. He was, I don't know, it was like a nice lesson, you know, that you want to be able to pass down, something that you would hope. I think he plays everyone's dad that they wish they had, you know.
Yeah,
not judgmental, always happy, really easygoing, not a care in the world, with air quotes. You know, and then you realize with his mothership secret, how he actually does that. You know,
yeah.
He references a couple of times he retires at 50. I kept wondering why that, like, how, like, put that in the story, trying to read between the lines. I was thinking, is this trying to allude to something that he did?
Who knows?
I don't know. I think he just made the decision to stop working so that he could read Dickens three times. You know? I also was thinking, why would you read books? Don't you have a family? Don't you want to spend time with your kids? Which he obviously did.
Yeah.
You know, and when you realize that he spent every day twice, you know, he did go to the beach and have sandwiches with them twice. And he did, every Friday they did watch the movie, and he did it twice. Yeah. And
I really like that life lesson where he says, you know, this is the mothership of secrets for you to learn. It's like, tell me now, because we can save some time.
Yeah.
And live just a whole day without going back at all. Just let it run its course, all the good, all the bad, and then you do the whole day again, and then, like, find the fun in it, essentially. And I really, really love that then that bleeds into Tim's voiceover at the very end of the film, the entire lesson of the movie, where he's like, I've actually figured it out. It's like, I did that for so long. Like, now what I do is I just live every day as is and pretend it's the second day.
Mm.
And it's just like, I watched this movie again this week, and I hope this is the idea of the film. This is why I wanted to put it on the calendar. Like, I literally woke up the next morning after watching this film and went, today's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
And you know what? That next day wasn't a fantastic day. I had horrible things happen to me that day. I spilt my lunch, like, in my bag, and my work shirt got filthy, and like, all of these things happened that went wrong, but I still had a smile on my face. And I don't know if that wouldn't have happened if I'd have not watched the film the night before. Oh. I think that a few things would have just gotten to me that little bit. Mostly the soup on the shirt thing was was horrible. Smelt like soup all day, but that's okay. But yeah, it's just, I really like that message. And if you can take that away from it, where you can wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to make today the good one. And everyone has their bad days, and it is okay to have a bad day. Like, it's very okay to not be okay. And if you're feeling that, you know, reach out. I really love that message.
Yeah, that it's definitely the takeaway moral from this film, and I think that was, it's really valuable, a valuable one to do. I think it could have been done in an hour and a half, but I did,
you're probably
like,
right,
the idea of it and the playing out of it, you know, that tell me, Lee, when you spilt the soup on yourself, did you kind of internally swear at yourself but then go, no, how do I make this better? And you looked at the guy next to and you took his wig off and threw it across the room. You didn't
what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
It wasn't a barrister.
Oh, yes. No, I get it. Yeah.
That's what you did.
And then I went skipping through the halls and was looking at the sky. And
appreciated architecture and bought a coffee and smiled at the person that served you.
No. I was literally on the bus. And I had...
You were eating on the bus.
It doesn't matter. No. So I had my bag. I had my backpack, my work backpack that had my uniform in it. And I had my lunch in it. And I leant over and put my hand on the seat next to me. And I'm like, why is the seat wet? And I'm like, gosh, I hope it's water. I'm like, is my bum wet? Like, maybe it's just been cleaned. Maybe it's water. And so I like smelt my hand. And I was like, because I was like, it might... And then I'm like, oh no, that smells like last night's dinner.
Oh, no.
And then I picked up my bag and it was dripping. And I opened it up and I took everything out and sat it next to me. And then off I went on my day. And I was still able to be like, look, if this is the worst thing that happens to me today, which it is probably going to be, it's going to be all right. Like, the earth is going to keep spinning. Life will go on. And it did.
I started laughing when you started telling your story, only because when you said you're on the bus, I visualized you reaching to the person next to you on the bus and throwing
and ripping
the
wig. You idiot.
And then realizing you couldn't get off and you were near the window, so he was in the aisle seat and you're laughing jovially at him. And
look at my soup. They always say that if you can't find the crazy person on the bus, it's you.
There you go. I just had that visual running through my head.
It was me.
All right. So, yes, Bill Nye, beautiful, beautiful dad character. The ping pong games that they have.
Oh, so good. His commentary really cool during those is great. If you hadn't seen the film and you watched it and came back and you were super confused about the first openly ginger character in a Richard Curtis film joke that I made at the beginning... It was a quote from the film. Like, that wasn't just me saying something horrible.
That was nice. Look, that was one of the moments where I felt, oh, this is being laid on really thick. He's way too happy here.
Eat the cake, Terrence.
Yeah,
eat the cake. You'll enjoy it.
I know. I'm sorry, everyone. But I've got to say it. I've got a platform here. Really, really cool. While we're talking about him... we're going to talk about in the What About Whens. But how
what a great opportunity to jump in. We're getting to the pointy end now, and we've got quite a few What About Wens to get through.
Well, so we'll do now a good time we'll to go jump to What in. About Wens. I think, yeah, if we want to do other stuff, we'll do it throughout. But I'm happy to go What About Wens. Let's do it.
Perfect. We are here right now. Episode 19, About Time, in hashtag What About When. If you'd like to contribute to this segment, best ways to do it is through Twitter or Instagram. We are at TheMovieCal. We have an email address as well, themoviecal@gmail.com. All of these are in the description below, along with the time codes, if you would like to reach out. We've got... do we have some contributions for What About When for this episode?
We do. We do. From Instagram? We have some from Instagram. So I've got a couple. You've got one or two as well.
I've got just my own.
All right. Let's go to the gram. That's what people say, Lee. Just so you know.
I'm so glad I'm not the people.
And they've hashtagged What About When. They've
hashtagged. Oh, please stop doing that.
Okay, so sorry, don't tell people on the podcast what I just did. They're going to have to watch it for themselves.
They know. Utterly, they felt it.
Utterly disappointed when they see what
I did. They felt it in their soul.
You wasted my time. I had to go to a device and look at the screen and see Terrence do that. Why? All right. So a couple of comments like, oh my God, I love this movie. Haven't seen it in years. One of my all-time faves. Our date, to put this, actually comes from the Instagram quote, which you have. You're going to read out that quote. Then we have... Okay, love the casting for the film. Bill Nye is always brilliant and funny. And we have What About When? What About When?
Here we go.
What About When? There. Tim's father's best man's speech. So powerful and sweet.
I've got that one written down as well. I've got it written down as What About When? Dad gives the I've only loved three men in my life speech at Tim's wedding. And it's beautiful. I think because he does the speech twice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does it once, and then they sit down and he goes, I wish I said I loved you. And he's like, it was implied. He's like, no, it's not good enough. I'll be right back. And so he goes back and does the speech again. And it is really beautiful, where he talks about how he loves Uncle Desmond and he loves B.B. King, because obviously, and he loves his son. And yeah, it was a really, really sweet moment. That's a great What About When.
Really sad in the same moment as well, because he starts it by saying something about his own father. Yes. And how he wasn't anything special, which, you know, with his own father having this skill of time travel...
Didn't have time for the family.
Right, and isn't it a thing with parents where there's always a jump in time, you know, if you spoil your kids are going to grow up and they're not going to spoil their kids, so their kids are going to want to spoil their kids, and you know, so maybe that was a thing, and Bill Nye's character didn't want that ever to happen, so he's like really making sure that he lets his son realize the important things in life, and we can hope that lesson is now going to be passed on again and again, which you can guarantee Tim will pass that down. He had a son, didn't he, as well? He had two girls and a boy towards the end, did he? Was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely girl, boy, and then I'm not sure what the third one was.
Yeah, not counting the butterfly effect having massive effect on the universe with changing that you can actually create different children.
Yep.
Yeah. Butterfly effect? No, it's not a big thing. Obviously, it's like a big thing. All right. Real sad. Real sad, but...
It leads into quite a tragic moment later on in the film where we find out that he's got cancer. The dad has cancer, and Tim walks in on Uncle Desmond and he goes, "I think your father is not all that well, cancer." And he's like, "He told me that he loved me at your wedding. I think that was the best day of my life." And it's just. And so this must be the saddest or the worst.
I have that quote as well. I have that quote. At your wedding, he said he loved me. That was the best day of my life. This is the worst.
Yeah. Cried and cried and cried. I cried so hard.
It was beautiful on many levels, because this uncle would not remember things from 10 seconds ago. And obviously this is the most important
huge
thing.
Huge impact.
Yeah, he was the brother-in-law, right? He was Tim's mother's brother.
Yes, I think so. He does not have time travel abilities, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, through the whole film, I was waiting for his story to be explained. So I must have missed that he actually wasn't part of that male bloodline. Wonder why it only went down in the another patriarchal thing. Anyway.
Yeah, right. It's a sexist ability.
One of the men get everything.
Cancel the movie. Take it off the calendar.
Not today. Only not have to go through a horrific occurrence every month, but they also get time travel. What? Okay. Yeah. okay. What about were you? That was, so actually, that was the only what about went off.
Actually,
Instagram.
I think women get 0.72% time travel in this film.
Yes. Not controlled by them. Not controlled by them. Mm. I made a linking to Groundhog Day to my wife. And she's like, no, this isn't anything like Groundhog Day. No. They're not Groundhog Day at all. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I guess Bill Murray didn't have the ability to decide when to go back.
Could you imagine if these are set in the same universe and Bill Murray is actually like one of the, like a distant male family member of this family and his is like on haywire, like something is wrong with the chemistry in his body, and he just gets stuck on one of the days for so long. Oh my god!
They reference, and you've got this great uncle, this second removed uncle, living in Punxsutawney.
Yep,
somewhere in the States.
There's somewhere online that has that.
It was a weatherman and just mysteriously left one day to take up in some weird hick town. I don't know. Not so a hick town. A country town. A small town. Punxsutawney.
No, I think you got it right.
Do you have a what about when?
I do. I've got a couple. That was one of mine from Instagram. I've got... I've got a couple. What about when Tim travels back in time one last time to say goodbye to his father? Because when his third child is about to be born, he knows that he can't go back anymore. And yeah, his dad realizes what he's doing when they're playing table tennis and has that really, really nice moment in a way that only Bill Nye could pull off, where he realizes what's happening. And he says, oh, can I have a request? Can you play the Nick Cave song? And it's already sorted. And then just the beautiful moment of, how's Uncle Desmond's suit? It's like, oh, it's immaculate. It's so lovely. Such a sweet and beautiful moment.
Hang on, that's not the last time he goes back. Is it?
No. To see his father. That's the last time. It is the last time he goes back to see his father.
No, yes. He goes back again and they have a table tennis game.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, yes, you are right.
But that was the...
Two separate moments.
That was the time he went back.
He walks...
While
yeah, and he's reading the book.
The funeral.
He walks in and he's reading the Charles Dickens book.
That's
Great
right.
Expectations.
Yeah. I was thinking, wait a second.
Sorry.
Something.
I got but two that, moments confused.
Both of them are worthy of what about when's. I love the first, this one that you mentioned. And I love the effect it had because you think, oh, this is going to be the last time he sees him. And you think that knowing full well, oh, he can go back to that time whenever he wants. But you still feel really sad for him. Because it's not until after that that Tim and Mary have the conversation about having another child.
Oh, yeah.
This
is the biggest decision I'll ever make in my life. Do I say goodbye to my father and continue my family? And yeah, he does it for the love of his life. And good choice. That would be such a hard decision to make.
Yeah, that was a tough scene for me to watch. Well, and you know, everyone's going to go through it at some point in their lives, and you know, I think the worst thing for a parent to have to go through is to see their child go before them. But you know, I'd like to say a close second might be seeing a sibling, and then the next would be the child seeing their parent. So it's all
tragic and it's all loss, and you never want it to happen in any way.
No. You know, knowing that he had the ability to choose, that was quite touching that he did that, and that he was able to give closure to himself, where I awarded myself the ability to feel good for him to be able to do that, because there are so many people that never got a chance to do that, and it was nice to see. I want to add on to that. What about when? And okay, say, please. What about when he does go back for the actual last time, and they have that ping pong game, and his dad says, "You know what? We're going to break the rules. Do you mind if we go for a little walk?" And they both go together into a dark area and both travel back and enjoy.
As long as we don't change anything, it should be fine.
Yeah, and enjoy a run on the beach. You know, that did it for me. That was my trigger. Man. That was really tough. And, you know, thinking back to a relationship with my father, but then also thinking about my relationship with my son. Oh,
yeah.
You know, it was beautiful.
One of my best friends, he's a sucker for father and son stuff in cinema. Like, it doesn't matter how how big or small it is, it's just any moment we got a movie together. It doesn't take it takes quite a bit to get him going, but anything father and son, he's just done. I don't know if he's seen this movie or not. I haven't asked him. I'll have to give him a message and see.
Yeah, well, he'll enjoy it. I think it's done in such a nice way as well. It's so tasteful. It's not one that just shocks you. Through the film, I was thinking, whenever there was a phone call, I thought, oh, no, the dad's dead. Oh, no, the dad's dead. Oh, no, the dad's dead. But, yeah, that was beautiful. You know, one of the things that I really enjoyed about it is the camera was far away. And you watched...
Let them have their moment.
Right? And by being able to experience the film like that, you felt like you were part of the moment even more. You felt like you were actually there watching from far away and letting them experience this. That to me was worth so much more than any sequence that they could do, slow motion close-ups, big smiles on the kid's face and throwing sand and running and splashing. And no, we just want to see. And it was cut nicely. They spent a good amount of time playing. It was just, it was really, really ripped at my heartstrings watching that. So that is a big what about when for me. It's not my last what about when. I wanted to end on a funny what about when.
Okay.
Do you have another one?
I've got one more. It's not serious or funny. It's just a moment that just floors me in the film.
Yeah.
Every time I watch it, it catches me off guard every single time, even though it's literally on the poster. And so I've got what about when. This is my last one. What about when Tim is waiting for Mary at the altar? And then the church doors open to reveal that she is in a red wedding dress. It's stunning. It's so beautiful. It's that kind of subversion of what you expect.
Mm.
And it's just wonderful. I love it. She's ethereal in the entire film, but especially in this moment. It's stunning.
It's beautiful. She finally landed on a dress she wanted to wear. Yes.
The blue one.
Oh man! Don't,
I don't know. I think
don't
I'm
get me started on
mind.
That scene. Look, the that was
triggered.
Really nice.
Terrence is triggered.
Oh, I'm triggered. I'm going to mention it before this finishes too. But how cool was it? The stereo plays and it plays that song by that Italian singer. Really, really cool. And how she motions to him. You know, that's for you. You know, I thought that was just wonderful. And how the dad is dancing a little bit, and his wife's like, "Stop it, stop, behave." I really enjoyed that too. How about the what about when the storm hits at the wedding?
Yeah, super fun.
The storm of storms.
I love that it just didn't go to plan. Like, it all went horribly. But what mattered is, like, they were together. They love each other. And I really love that little intimate moment towards the end of the evening where they're sort of cuddling on the chair. And he says, "Would you have picked another day?" And she's like, "No. No, like not for the world. Like, it was perfect."
Yeah.
And he was asking because he could change that. Like, he
exactly.
could change it. So he was he just wanted to do right by her, and the fact that she is happy means cool, I'm done. Like, he doesn't care about having the big wedding for himself. It's just whatever she wants.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a nice thing as well, you know, of everything that went wrong. So many brides that you read about, you hear about, you worry about is like, oh no. go back. We're going to do it the day before. We know that was a good day, but that day was perfect and didn't need to be rerun. It didn't need to be mended. Yep. Yeah, that was
except for the best man speeches.
Except for that bit. Yeah. Well, yeah, he didn't want to control nature, which was kind of refreshing to see. Yeah, that was funny. Best man speeches. What a great what a great scene. I'm looking for my my last what about when. Yes, yes. Okay. It's when Mary. When is there a Helen in this film?
Are you thinking of Helen of Troy?
Maybe, sure, yeah.
She's always on the mind somewhere.
What a weird reference. Why would... It's just a mythical... Okay, and not mythical, like ancient, like how... Anyway.
The face that sent us 1,000 ships, that's why.
Yes, I know. Anyway. What was I going to say? What about when?
Yes, what about when? Your funny one.
The parents' visit, which she forgets Tim. And they buzz the apartment. He's like, stall them. And she's like, okay, come on up. And they come up and, okay, yeah, whatever you do, you can't tell them you live here. You can't. They're pretty conservative. All right, cool. And he makes the joke. So I won't talk about oral sex. Yep, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, okay, are we having sex? Yes, but not oral. Like, why would oral sex come up? Why would that come up?
And then open the door. Hello, darling. Oh, you have visitors. Should we come back later when everything's good and you're alone? No, that's going to be hard because he lives here. And then his classic line, but no oral sex, I promise you. That was classic. That got me laughing audibly and shaking. I watched it laying in bed. The whole bed was jiggling.
Yeah, that was very good. Very funny.
That was it.
Why would that come up?
Oh my God. Because you're going to say it.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one to go back to. I love how he goes back every time. He's like, just give me a sec. And he keeps just walking out of the room. Okay. That was cool. You know, I do have to say one more thing. I do. It's my last little thing.
That's fine.
We talked about the icing going on really thick. I think, you know, another thing that I was waiting for was a little bit more of a layered character. You know, the character of Mary was too doting. She just gave everything. There was never any challenge. He even became extremely close to betraying her and kept it secret. You know, I don't like that he did that, that he was, what's the word? Not deceptive. Yeah, deceptive. He lied to her. He went out with the first love of his life and went back to her apartment, but decided at the last minute. Because he realized he actually loved her. Why wouldn't you mention something like that? I wanted him to mention something that would have created some real tension, like real people experience.
Sure.
Well,
we don't know that he didn't.
Well, why admit it? Why admit it?
I've got a real fun treat for you with cinema. It's called headcanon.
Yeah.
So what you can say is during any moment in between when he realizes that he loves her so immensely that he's just... He has to propose right now.
Yes.
So he runs home and he does the proposal. A little while later, he's telling the story as to why it happened. But we just didn't see it because the movie's already 2 hours long. Probably could be about an hour and a half. So how about this, Terrence? He had that conversation. It went super well. And she's like, that's really sweet. She maybe had a situation like that as well. They had a good laugh. They went out for drinks. It was lovely. How do you feel about headcanon?
What a great audience you are. I think they had the conversation. She had a massive argument. She broke up with him. He said, oh, I'll be right back. He went back to running home. He didn't go back to before Margot Robbie's character invited him out because then he could have avoided that situation and said no. No, he didn't. He wanted that night. So he had the night again and then chose not to tell her. How about that for headcanon?
And we all now you can see the difference between the two of us, everybody, with how we go.
You know when they were doing the dress scene, trying on dresses? I made a little quip before about this could have been done in 1.5 hours. There was an immense amount of time in that scene. You know, change of dress, it's great. Okay, I was wondering what the payoff was going to be. And you know what I was thinking about what the payoff was going to be for this film, as dark and horrible as it was? Tim left the child downstairs. No way on earth would any parent do that for that long while they're feeding their child. Now, I was ready for, oh my God. She goes, wait, you left our child down there with the door open to where the manuscript is? I'm like, what manuscript is she talking about? The manuscript? What about the street?
Meet the publishers, yeah.
I was expecting the kid to have some major thing happen, to be abducted, to be dead, to whatever. I was waiting for a tragedy because that was an unusually long amount of time for changing dresses. And then the payoff was not the door to where the manuscript was. Oh, manuscript, but really something horrible's happened. Oh no, this manuscript that's never been mentioned before is all of a sudden the most important thing here and it's shredded. Where's the child? Child's not there anymore. I don't know. Like, what was that? And she had an opportunity to get mad, which she kind of did. Then the phone rings, saved by the bell. Oh, your father has cancer. Yeah. Cut to that scene.
More important things in life than having to worry about
that. But, you know, the reason I am upset about that whole scene, as funny as it was, that nothing came of it. That was the opportunity for something to really come in to make some important choices in this film, for the characters to really have some reality to importance, which we only get at the end with the sister. That was nice, and it was only touched on, and it was done and dusted really quick. The father's relationship, I think, it could have been explored a little bit more as well. You see him at the beginning and at the end, but when the mother interviews Mary and says, "Tell me your weaknesses. What's the worst thing about you?" What does she say? I can't remember the line, but they're sitting on the beach. He goes, "You know, what are your weaknesses?" And she goes, "Oh, I have a short temper." Like, what?
Crucial.
You don't.
Yeah.
You have no temper. What are you talking about? They're trying to build this character in the last 10 minutes of the film. You know, so it's those little things. It didn't stop me from enjoying the moral of the film. It did not. I was really taken by the emotional ride and I enjoyed it. I think it could have been done a lot better, believe it or not. And in a shorter time frame, didn't need to go so long. I say that as we usually do 1.5 hour records that go longer than the films themselves. But you know what? I did quite enjoy it. But they were my little qualms with it.
And that's sure. I have rebuttals for all of them, but I'm not going to do it because
they're all headcanon, aren't they? Time.
And you didn't give me a chance to jump in and have a chat about it.
Comment below.
I wanted to let you run free like a gazelle out in the field, ready to be attacked by the lions in the comment section later on.
Comment below, please.
Feel free to jump on in.
I want
to
hear it, but I respect everyone that loves this film.
The manuscript scene is important to show that some things aren't important when they find out about the father having cancer, and then you realize that that's something that we should actually care about, not this little trivial thing that whilst we thought this was the most important thing at the time, doesn't matter.
Nah, she could have just dropped the food on it while they were feeding her. Oh no, my manuscript. Phone call.
Sure. Yes.
All right. Well, I that's all my what about Wens. So is that all cool. Your what about Wens?
That's it. We're all done.
All right. We're towards the pointy end. So there's one more.
Yes.
One more piece of info that we need to get out there. Well, so two more.
The moment that we've all been waiting for. Yes. So we're going to add the film to the movie calendar now, and we have a date suggestion from Instagram, so thank you so much for that. We haven't had too many of these. Usually it's Terrence and I coming up with the dates for the calendar. This is what we want. We would love to see more people choosing dates for films to go on the movie calendar with good stories as to why they're going there. This particular film happens to be the person who has contributed. It's their favorite film or one of their favorite films. So they've decided to pop it on a date that is significant to them. And Terrence, would you like to announce this one?
Okay, I will. This one is by... I'm sorry, I haven't said... You know what? I'll do it. Okay, here we go.
You said you were going to do it.
I know. This one is by Axel H on Instagram. So we're going to start with it. Here we go. This is the date. This is his quote. He says, June 24th, my birthday. And it's that perfect movie mid-year watch where you get to think on how far you've come each year and have all the happy feels. Beautiful. Yeah, well, if this is his...
Excellent addition.
If this is his favorite or one of his favorite films, to go on his birthday, smack bang in the middle of the year or close to it. Why not? Axel, yep. This one's yours.
This one's all yours, mate. It's going on there just for you. So this will appear on the movie calendar when it becomes a physical, tangible thing once we've done all 365 episodes of the movie calendar. No, there was no sigh in there. I'm very excited to continue on.
Aren't leap years like half the length of a normal year? Isn't that the leap year? Where we only have to do 150,
that's how it works.
60...
176?
176.
I don't know what half of...
Let's just say 25. 25?
Yeah. Let's just do 19 episodes of the movie calendar and be done with it.
It's a leap
year. No, because we have to record Get Out for episode 21, which I'm excited. No, but thank you so much, Axel, for that one. I hope that we did the film justice for you in our conversation here. Super excited to put this one on. No, don't apologize. It's fine. Everyone experiences art and cinema differently, so yep. It's completely fine. But no, I'm really excited to have this movie appear on the calendar. There's going to be lots of movies like this dotted all over the calendar for people to enjoy. So
multiple genres.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Thank you for your contribution. So next week, we actually have the film. We have decided what the film is. We decided before we started recording, we made sure that we remembered this week. So we are very excited to announce that for next week, episode 20, we are going to be doing another film within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it is going to be James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. Little awesome. Bit excited.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
A little bit excited. For those who are listening on the podcast app and not on YouTube here, I was giving little fist pumps and yeah. Really.
No
cool
one
to
needs
do this
to
one.
See that, Lee.
No, they do.
No,
they do.
Way.
Everyone should.
My hand gestures YouTube. Get censored by you verbally.
So verbally censored. Well, you're the editor. You can cut it out if you really want to. Just move my fists. Or no, that would be too much effort.
I'll just zoom in a little bit so we can't see the extremities. It'll just look like we're going.
Oh, please don't.
I'll
do
just
that.
Crash zoom on your face.
Crash zoom, yes. on Danny in The Shining.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy, next episode.
Yeah.
And then episode 21 will be Get
so episode 21, as we've been talking about for the last few weeks here. So Jordan Peele's directorial debut, Get Out.
Mm.
If you haven't seen that film, there's a reason why we've given you time to watch it before listening to our episode. You will want to watch it, absorb it, really take it in before you listen to a discussion on it, because there's a lot in that film. Terrence, you've watched it in the last week, have you, since we spoke?
Yes.
Since we last spoke?
Yes.
Or even before then?
No, I've watched it in the last week. Within the last week, I've watched it. So I've got time to mull on it. I don't think I want to watch it again because I want to talk about it in terms of, you know, okay. If someone goes to the cinema and watches it, you know, they may not watch it four or five times.
But it's very much a rewarding a rewatch film.
Yeah, and I want to save it for when it comes on the calendar and I can watch it again.
Do recommend a second watch. If you don't, that's absolutely fine. I will be watching it again before we record. So yeah, look forward to that. Next week, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be huge. It's a brilliant film, a real change for Marvel, and yeah, kind of change the way that superhero films could be done. So yeah, can't wait to dive into that. There's going to be some really cool stuff in that episode. So we will see you then. Anything else from you, Terrence?
No, are we finishing?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, it's about time.
Oh, no. Oh, no. How did I not see it coming? You know, I'm more just angry and disappointed at myself. As well as I am equally impressed. That was very good.
We've got to end it. We've got to end
it now. We should end it. I had the idea of doing the joke at the front and then saying that it was going to be the only time I did it, but then just constantly do it throughout the episode, and I chickened out and didn't do it.
No, one each. That's all we get. That's the law.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Well,
we're going to end. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening.
See you next week.
If you haven't done so already, please subscribe on YouTube. If you're here, that would help us out greatly.
Tell your friends.
And give us a a review on your favorite podcast app of choice. And Terrence's light is out. We are done. Good night, everybody.
All right.
See you next week.
About time.
Bye. Oh, no. Edit that one out. No more. It's about time.